Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and good night for some, depending on where you are in the world. So, hey, let's just pray and welcome. First of all, welcome to another edition of Daryl Hikes Live. I know it's titled The Athlete's Church, but we're going to do something a little bit different today, and we'll get back into the swing of things as far as the Athlete's Church is concerned. So let's just pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that you think through my mind, that you speak through my vocal cords. I thank you that it's all of you, it's none of me, and that everyone that's listening to this program, they get blessed as a result of their empowerment to prosper, and that they get something out of the program that's going to benefit them and bring them closer to you. So it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that we pray. And if you agree with that prayer, then just say, amen. I am super excited to be back doing this. I took a little hiatus, just some time to just get some things, think about some things, get some things in order, you know, because what happens is life happens. And when life happens, you have to make a decision. Are you going to happen to life, or are you going to let life happen to you? And so I made a decision. I'm going to happen to life. I'm not going to let life determine what happens to me. So I'm back. I really wouldn't say I'm back. I mean, it's just been a couple of months, but I'm just really excited. So let's just get right into the program. This is some good stuff. The title is Jesus Be Trippin'. I know that isn't correct English, however, you know, but Jesus be tripping. And once we get into the true definition of what tripping is, you'll understand how that word has become, it's been used in a negative connotation and in a negative way when it's actually a good word. It's a positive word. It's a godly word. So I'd like to start out with the scriptures. Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 28 through 30 in the Message translation. And it says, it starts like this. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This particular scripture is talking about relationship. Much like a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, two best friends, it's relationship. So what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, hey, look, come here. Come hang out with me. Talk to me. Walk with me just like Adam and Eve did in the garden right after I created them. And Jesus would teach them things. They would learn things from him. How many of you know the best teacher on the planet is God? Why? He created everything. I choose to believe that. There are those that don't believe that. Everyone has a right to their opinion, their beliefs. I believe that. I believe God created everything. Therefore, I can learn from him because he knows how everything is structured, how it's formatted, its purpose. Just like abuse is simply defined as the misuse of something, using something for the wrong purpose. You know? So I'm going to read that again. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, the Message. Are you tired? Let's just start right there. If you're just mentally, physically, you're not tired up to the point of you're just worn out, but you just want a fresh start. You want something new. Something different. You can have different and it be bad. You can have new and it can be bad. But you want to start out fresh. You know, if you're tired, he'll give you rest for your souls. He'll give you rest when your money's concerned, he'll give you rest. Where your relationships are concerned, he'll give you rest. Where your social life is concerned, he'll give you rest. Now, the first rest that God gives is the rest in salvation. Salvation is simply God has a package with everybody's name on it. He has an individual package with your name on it. All you have to do is accept the package, but it has to be done through Jesus. No man may come to the Father except through Jesus. And you have to be led of the Spirit. So God set up a way for everything you'll ever need in this world to live in abundance to the full until it overflows. John chapter 10, verse 10. I think it's the Amplified version. But if you want to live that kind of life, you have to accept the package that God delivers. I have a package that's coming on the way from FedEx. I have a FedEx package coming in tomorrow. I am in expectation of my package. I know exactly what it is that I'm supposed to be getting. I'm getting some uniforms for my teams. But I'm getting a uniform for my team. So I am in expectation of the package. Well, God created a salvation package for everybody. So you should be in expectation of what everything that God has for you. Now, we started out by talking, the title of the message is Jesus Be Tripping. So we need to define tripping. Tripping is defined, well, this is the participle present tense. This is when I first heard the word, hey man, you be tripping, quit tripping, stop tripping, stuff like that. Well, it was used in a negative sense because it meant supplanting, stumbling, falling, stepping nimbly. The goal of this word here is to get you to fall and never recover, which is what happened in the Garden of Eden. Well, let's go to the garden and see exactly what happened where, because it's defined as the fall of mankind. Genesis chapter 3, the New Living Translation. I'm going to start with verse 1 and I'm going to read all the way through verse 24. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked a woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? She replied, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. They were already created in the image of God, so they were already just like God. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what worldly means. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And the Lord God called to the woman, where are you? You know what? This is interesting. Genesis chapter 3 says the Lord God, but if you read 1 and 2, it refers to God. I like that. We'll talk about that another time. He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, it was a woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. That didn't mean he had to eat it just because she gave it to him. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. Though you will eat of its grains, by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from the dust, and the dust you will return. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Now, it doesn't say here, but they will live forever in the state of sin with no way to get out. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed many mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, you're probably wondering, why did I read that? Well, what had happened was the man and woman, they disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, their nature changed. Their nature changed from a nature to obey God to a nature to disobey God. Here's the challenge. Once their nature changed, if they had have reached out and ate from the tree of life and lived forever, we would have a nature that would forever be in a state to where we would disobey God. That's why when you have people that tell lies, or they steal, or they cuss people out, or they murder, or they break any of the Ten Commandments, or the actually 613. You know, I found out that there are over 44,000 laws in the United States. Now, at some point, you're going to break one of those laws. So God set up a system by which, hey, look, he gave the law, of course, but then we're under grace. So God said, you know what? I know they can't keep my holy commandments. I know they can't keep it. So they need a savior. That's why Jesus came. Because man tried to undo what was done wrong, but it got passed down through all of his children, because before man sinned, he had a nature to obey God. So then he gets a nature to disobey God, so that all of his children ever born are going to be born with the nature to disobey God. And that's what brings us to today, to where you see all of the sin and evil that actually was brought in through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, but it started with Satan. So when you look around and you say, why is there so much evil in the world? There's the devil. Well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, just because you don't believe in the devil doesn't mean that there's not evil. Now, so this word tripping, now let's look at this word tripping from a godly point of view, or a good positive point of view. The noun tripping is the act of tripping, the loosing of an anchor from the ground by its cable, or I think this is boyer. I have to get that correct. Rope. Hebrews 12:1, God's Word translation says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. I'm going to read that again. Here's literally what it looks like, the true definition of tripping. It is a picture of someone being literally an anchor being around your neck, and that anchor is loosed from the ground by its cable or the rope that holds it. And we are, think about it, we're surrounded by so many examples of faith in God that we must make a decision to get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. Now, the King James Version says the sin, the weight and sin that so easily distracts us. So what is it in your life that's distracting? Is it unforgiveness? Is it a relationship that you so desperately want, but you're not sure how to get it? Is it a vehicle? Is it a lack of finances? Is it a lack of trust in God? What is it? What's the sin? What's weighing you down? You know, what is it? What is it? Some desire that God didn't put in your heart? But the Bible says we must get rid of those things. Sometimes you got to walk away. Sometimes you got to hang the phone up. Sometimes you have to tell the person no. So it's up to us to get rid of the sin and the weight that so easily distract us. And now, look, I'm not going to – I know it sounds easy, and I know it sounds like something, oh, well, you just do it, you know. Sometimes you might need help. You might need a prayer partner there with you or somebody just to encourage you. And it may not be overnight. But if you'll just trust God with – 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 talks about casting your cares on him because he cares for you, him being God, casting your cares on him. Now, I go beyond just God. There's Jesus for what he's done. But then there's also the Holy Spirit, who is actively currently working with human beings. He's working with fallen man. What he does is he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but he convinces the saints, us, those of us that are born again, he convinces us that we're no longer sinners and we don't have to live in sin and we don't have to sin. He convinces us that we are the righteousness of God, and he convinces us that we've already been judged as righteous. So when we get to heaven, we go before the great white throne of judgment, rewards, all kinds of stuff. Now, you're not going to just get to heaven and float on a cloud and play a harp. There's work, because heaven is just, the earth is just like heaven. So if you have a calling here, you have a calling in heaven. It's just like there's two things I do. I do basketball, sports, and I also transportation. I love picking people up and dropping them off. Absolutely love it. I pick them up, drop them off. And my calling as an evangelist is to go out, get people, bring them to the church, drop them off at the church with a pastor that can shepherd them. Pastor and shepherd are the same thing. That word shepherd, pastor is translated shepherd. Shepherd is translated pastor. But that's what I do. I go out and get them, bring them back, drop them off, go get another load, bring them back, drop them off, go get another load, bring them back, drop them off. That's what I do. I absolutely love driving. Now, I have hit a point to where it's going to be nice to be driven, and driving doesn't necessarily mean it's always in a motorized vehicle that's on the ground. I want some stuff that's in the air that can go real fast, you know, because we got to get this gospel all over the world. Got to. You know, I've set a goal for the remainder of 2019. My goal is to lead a minimum of 156 people to the Lord. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, there are 156 days left in 2019. So if I just one person every day, that'll give me 156 people. You know, and since I said that's my calling, or that's what I believe God is told, well, I know that's what God has told me to do. My job is to share Jesus, what he did, ask him, hey, would you like to exchange the sin for his righteousness? And if you want to make the exchange and accept the salvation package, then let's do it. So we looked at this word tripping from a godly position, to where it's the loosing of an anchor from the ground by a cable or rope. And then we talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I like to give you scriptures, too, to where you can go back and read this stuff for yourself. So we've already talked about Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 30. We've talked about Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 24, where mankind fell. And Satan's goal was to get them to where they could never recover. But God had a plan. That plan's name was Jesus. So this word tripping also describes a light dance. See, the Holy Spirit, he wants to dance with us. What do you mean by that? When you're dancing with someone, there's a rhythm to it. There's a connection. There's a gracefulness. So you're dancing with the Holy Spirit. Y'all are, you know, doing your thing. One, two, three, four, move. All right, move. All right. You're doing your thing. And then you get out of step with him. That's called a mistake. So you have a mistake or a misstep. I like that better. You have a misstep. Well, the Holy Spirit is right there to get you back in step. That's what he does. And he wants to dance with you. He wants to flow with you. Well, he wants you to flow with him, really. He wants you to experience the unforced rhythms of grace. And grace is Jesus. That's just the bottom line. Now, the adjective tripping deals with, it means to be light and quick as a step or pace. Sometimes, you know, we just burden ourselves down with other people's problems. You know, we find ourselves, when it says light and quick, that means you're not encumbered by anything. You're able to move fluently. You can just flow. You can just, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. When I played basketball, I always made sure that I maintained a certain weight because I wanted to be light and I wanted to be quick, to where if I needed to jump over somebody, I could jump over somebody. If I need to go around somebody, first step, I was quick with it. But then there was timing. You can't get ahead of stuff. Like, you have to pace yourself. LeBron James is an excellent example of pacing himself. Steph Curry, he's an excellent example pacing themselves. You know, they pace themselves throughout the game because they know they're going to need more energy towards the end of the game, where things may be a little bit more intense. Well, when it comes to God and his plan for your life, we have to learn to just slow down and enjoy the journey. The process, yeah, it may be painful. There may be some things you go through, and you may have encountered some losses along the way. We all do. But God is still there to just pace you. I'll get you through this. Don't get ahead of me, but don't lag back too much. Just walk with me, just like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You know, because what happens is, situations can try to, well, think about it like this. For those of you who have a vehicle that drives, there's what's called the HOV lane, or some people call it the fast lane. But it's not really the fast lane. It's just it's a heavily occupied vehicle lane. That's what it is. And people will get behind you, and they'll get so close, and then they'll flick their lights. They'll put their beams from low to high to get you to speed up or get out of the way. Well, just because they do that doesn't mean you have to speed up or get out of the way, because now you're breaking the law. So God is saying, slow down. Just stay with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Let me show you how to live this life. Let me show you how to enjoy this life. Let me show you. What does it say here? Let me teach you or learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, another definition, and this is the adjective tripping, is proceeding with a light, easy movement or rhythm. I like that. Proceeding with a light, easy movement or rhythm. That dude, he's just smooth how he moves. You know, Michael Jackson, he was smooth. You know, James Brown, smooth. You know, these guys were. I come from an era with New Edition and New Kids on the Block. You know, stuff. Those guys to where I love synchronized routines. I just absolutely just, you know, everybody's in step, everybody's on pace, everybody's doing their thing. And that's how God sees the body of Christ. That's how he sees us. That's how he wants us to be. The unforced rhythms of grace. And then I want to go ahead and we're starting to wrap up the show, but Philippians 4, verse 6, in the New Living Translation, it kind of gives us an idea and it helps us to understand how we're supposed to just live life. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. And I put this in there, and that it's already done. See, grace has already obtained everything you'll ever need. So it's just up to you to go ahead and come into the realization that grace, it's already been provided through grace. So I'm going to read that again. This is the essence of how to live the life that God has for you. Philippians 4, verse 6 in the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Worry is literally to where you're pulling yourself apart. That's the picture of worry. You're going in a lot of you're being pulled in different directions because worry involves stress. There's stress and pressure being put on you to be concerned about something that you can't even control. Just like panic is groundless fear. You're concerned about something that hadn't even and may not even happen. But you can speed up. You can bring it over into reality. But we don't want to do that. So it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Talk to God. Prayers talk to God. Talking to God. And yes, God does answer the prayers of a sinner. I know what John chapter 9, verse 31 says. But he answers the prayers of a sinner. Because how could you ever get saved if he didn't answer the prayers of a sinner? And then you have to read that entire chapter in context of what Jesus was talking about. I'm not going to get into all that. But pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Yes, I know. He already knows what you have need of before you ask, but you still have to ask. So tell him what you need. If you need a new car, tell him. If you need clothes, tell him. If you need a house, tell him. If you need children, tell him. If you need more money, tell him. Tell him. He can handle it. There's nothing God can't handle. So tell him what you need. And thank him for all he's already done. He woke you up this morning, started you on your way. He gave you things that you didn't even deserve. So tell him, thank him for what he's already done. You know, be thankful unto him. God has done so much for us. And then, now I add, like I said, I added this. Thank him that it's already done. Everything has been provided through Jesus. So here's the thing. If you've listened to the program and you've never, ever accepted Jesus into your heart, what that means is, have you ever exchanged the sin that came in through Adam and Eve that spread to all of humans? You know, hey, I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be a sinner anymore. So, Jesus, I receive your righteousness, what you did for me. I receive your grace. I receive God's salvation package. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, today I exchange my sin, the sin that came in through Adam and Eve, for your righteousness, for what Jesus did on the cross. And because I believe that you died for me and that God raised you from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father, I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. So today, as a result of what I said, I'm a member of the family of God. I'm born again. I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, welcome to the family. We'll talk next time.